Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6, if you will, please. Matthew chapter 6, we're talking about prayer being a great adventure, and I believe it really is. And so we want to continue along those lines, that theme. Tonight we go to another portion of what we call the Lord's Prayer. And the message title is Provision, Asking for What We Need. Provision, Asking for What We Need. Now let's go to Matthew 6 and back up to verse 9. We'll lead down into our text verse. He says, after this manner therefore pray ye. The disciples had asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, here's a model. Not that you have to liturgically pray this over and over ritualistically, but the facts are there. The way we should pray, the things that we need to be involved in. So he said, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You notice in the beginning it's all about God, and in the end of the prayer it's all about God, but somebody has said that's the two mountain peaks, and in between is where we live. And so the first thing that comes in between is asking him. And so he says in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. I believe God is telling us in that portion of that prayer that he is encouraging us to depend upon himself. God wants us to depend upon him. We actually depend on God for everything anyway, don't we? We really do. When the truth of the matter is known, we are depending on God for the air we breathe, for the dirt we walk on, for everything else that we have in our lives. We're depending on God for those things. But I think here when he uses the word bread here, he's not just comparing spiritual with carnal, though that has an application where he's talking about that. But I think here he's using bread to be symbolic of our physical needs. Not only the air we breathe and all of these other things, but specifically our physical needs that we have. Psalm 104 is really a song about God providing for the animal world and all of the different animals. And it talks about the springs. It talks about God giving the water. It talks about God feeding them. It talks about God doing all of that. And all of those things are mentioned in Psalm 104 because it is a hymn of praise to God for what God does in supplying and sustaining all of that. He includes in that the donkeys and the cattle and so on and so forth. God supplies all of that. Turn to Psalm 104 real quickly if you can. And let's look at a couple of verses there. Psalm 104, verses 27 and 29, or 27 through 29, Psalm 104. And in this psalm, he is giving us an indication. The whole psalm is about those things. But verses 27 through 29, he says, these wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand. God opens his hand. They are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face. They are troubled. Thou takest away their breath. They die and return to the dust. He's simply saying there that God gives everything. And if God quits giving it, God withholds his hand, you and I won't be here very long. God gives all of the things that we have tonight, and if God does not provide, then we're all in trouble. But God does provide, not only for the animal world, but certainly for humanity and certainly for his own children. So it is an encouragement to us, the way he has worded it, to depend upon him. Look to God, depend on God. Now, somebody might ask the question, well, is God doing his job? Is God doing his job? We're supposed to depend on him, and God is to supply for the whole world all of these things then someone might ask this question, then why are there people starving? Why are there people going through problems? You've seen them on television, the little children with their bloated tummies, all of those things. Does that mean God is not doing what God said he would do? Does that mean God is not fulfilling his obligation to mankind? Many die. Why do they die? Well, it doesn't have anything to do with God not fulfilling his obligation. But there are some other things that are apparent that God teaches us in his word that impact the world, and because of that, those things happen. They're going to happen. In other words, first of all, we live in a fallen world. We just have to remember that. We live in a fallen world. Look at Romans chapter 8 just a second and drop down to verses 20 through 22. Romans chapter 8, verses 20 through 22. And listen to what he's saying to us about the results of sin. In verse 20, Romans 8, 20, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly." In other words, that wasn't God's original intent for them. "But not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered." From what? "From the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation," all of it, "the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." Why is that? It's the result of the curse. It's a result of sin. Sin is all over the world. Sin impacts the world. And so we are going to have catastrophes and sickness and starvation and problems and difficulties on planet Earth until Jesus returns again. When he returns, he'll solve all of those problems. But now it goes back to the reality that we live in a fallen world. Jesus said, "The poor you're going to have with you always." Isn't that comforting to us? The poor. And yet we're really wealthy by the world standards, as we would know if you would travel and be familiar with what's happening in the rest of the world. But he also says, not only we're going to have the poor with us, but he says, "Blessed be the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." In other words, there is a reward. You don't get saved by being poor, but even those people who are poor and go through trials and difficulties, if they know the Lord Jesus Christ, then theirs is going to be part of the kingdom of God. "Blessed are the hungry now, for they shall be filled," or the word could be used there, they will be satisfied. And so we may be poor here, and we're going to have poverty. We're going to have starvation in some places. And we're going to see all of those things going on. That doesn't mean God is not taking care of matters. It's just part of the curse. And here's the truth of the matter. God doesn't have to feed anybody if he doesn't want to. He is a sovereign, holy God. I know he's a compassionate God, but God doesn't have to feed anybody. In other words, anything you get, your provisions are a gift every day that you live from Almighty God. A gift that God gives, and if God quit giving it, you wouldn't live. Otherwise, all of us would die. Somebody's estimated that God spends the equivalent of, or provides the equivalent of the national debt of the United States of America to the sparrows every day. Can you imagine that? You see, God can supply it, and God has to supply it, and he does supply it. And we have to understand that it is a gift of God. If God feeds the sparrows, that is because he chooses to do so. It is his gift to them, and he does take good care of them. We know that from the word of God. Now, why does bread sustain us? Why does he talk about bread here? Why does it sustain us? Because it goes all back to God. God is the one who made bread bread. God is the one who gave the nutritional properties and put it in there. If not, you might as well suck on a rock. Because God made those things the way he made them for us to provide for us. And he gave them the nutritional properties and values so we can eat and enjoy eating, just like you did that turkey the other day or whatever you had. And however much of it you did have. You see, it's a gift of God. Back of the loaf is the snowy flour. And back after the flour, the meal. Or back of the flour, the meal. And back of the meal is the field of wheat, the rain, and the Father's will. You see, if it wasn't the Father's will, it wouldn't happen. And God gives all of that in the rain, and he puts the nutrients in the seed, and the seed comes up. And a while ago, when I went home from preaching, we went by Babe's, which is not a night place. Babe's is a chicken place. And I ordered chicken to go, and they had some corn in there. That Babe's sweet corn is the best corn this side of my mother's. And my mother-in-law's. I better add that. But it's so good. Where did that all that come from? God made it that way. God provides that for us. The field of wheat, the rain, and the Father's will. And that would be his will. We may mix it up, and we do mix it up, mix it in all kinds of ways, but God gives the flavors and God gives the nutrients. God makes it good for us. He provides for us the food. And I think it would be good time, maybe the next meal you have, just stop and think about whatever you're eating and where it came from. And it may be a nice roll or whatever it may be, but you trace it back to the store, and the store traces it back to the warehouse, and the warehouse back to the mill, and the mill back to the farmer. And the farmer, if he's smart, like my daddy was a safe farmer, gives God the glory for it. And says, if God doesn't bring the rain down, we're not going to have any crop. No matter how much you plant in your garden, if God doesn't sustain it, it's not going to be there. It's God. That's why I think it's a good idea to pray before you eat. I just think it's a good practice. Publicly, I know you pray in a restaurant and you raise up and people go, you know, or sometimes they're Christians. Have you been out when you see another Christian praying? Doesn't it bless your heart? You think, oh, there's two of us. Two out of 500, that isn't bad. Hallelujah. But anyway, it does thrill your heart to see somebody else praying. Little boy was visiting with some neighbor friends. While he was visiting with them, they sat down to a sumptuous meal. And the father of the house said, dig in. And the little boy said, don't y'all pray? He said, no, we don't pray. He said, you're just like my dog. He doesn't pray either, you know. I don't know. I don't know if dogs pray. I don't think they do. I couldn't prove they do or don't. But we ought to pray and thank God. God's the one that gives it. God's the one that makes it what it is. God's the one that supplies us. Give us this day our daily bread. It's bread because God makes it bread. And that covers more than just light bread or rolls. It's talking about those things that God provides. And then examining the discipline of our lives. We look at that, we have to sort of look at our lives and examine how disciplined we are in that relationship. And what does he say? He says, give us this what? Day, our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. He didn't say, give us this week our weekly bread. Give us this month our monthly bread. We have to pray for a month. Give us this year our yearly bread. If you really want to stretch it out, give us the rest of our life our bread, and then we don't have to pray anymore about it. Why did he say, give us this day our daily bread, our daily bread? Well, I think, for instance, if we were to say, give me enough air to keep in my lungs to breathe all week with one breath, would be saying about the same thing as to say my prayer should last all the rest of the week. Now, I think the reason God does it is because we have short memories. You know, we really do. We have short memories about who's providing all of this for us. And God says, I don't want you to forget, so I want you to acknowledge that it is me. Every day of your life, I want you to acknowledge that I'm the one that is giving you what you have. And you know what that'll do? That will eliminate, first of all, pride, and secondly, it will eliminate materialism. If we pray every day with that kind of attitude and approach God every day, it's going to take care of that. When the Israelites were making their journey and God supplied manna for them, how often did he tell them to pick it up? He said, you go out every day except Friday. Friday, Saturday's the Sabbath. You can get twice as much that day. But any other day, if you try to hoard it and pick up more than a day's worth, then what was going to happen to it? It was going to rot. What was he teaching them? You need to know where this manna's coming from every day. And I will allow, because of the law, for you to pick up twice as much on Friday, and it won't rot. And guess what? It didn't. That's God's way. But God wanted them to know what was coming, and God wanted them to know that it was coming from him. You see, I believe that prayer presupposes, and especially the Lord's Prayer, that every day we're going to pray and thank God for our daily bread. And if he's talking about week to week, the week to week plan, that's the wrong plan. Some people have the week to week plan. What is that, preacher? They come on Sunday, pray that day, leave, don't pray anymore during the week, and then they come back next Sunday and they say, now Lord, I prayed today, so you take care of all the rest of my stuff all week, then I'll be back next Sunday if everything works out just fine, and I'll pray again. That's not the way God wants us to do it. Here's another thing it does for us. If we'll trust him daily, it will eliminate, and this is one we all have to deal with, it will eliminate worry. Think about it. If we trust him and pray to him every day, it will eliminate worry. Worry is a sin. To worry and fret all the time and be nervous all the time and scared all the time, and I know how the devil will jump on your shoulder and try to cause that. I know even as a pastor how he fights me in those areas, but I'm telling you that it's not the biblical thing to do that. We need to trust God every day, and that eliminates worry. Here's a little deal that says, better never trouble trouble till trouble troubles you. For you only make your trouble double trouble when you do. In other words, don't reach out and bring more trouble in every day. Let me say that one again for you. Some of you may have that memorized, but better never trouble trouble till trouble troubles you. For you only make your trouble double trouble when you do. If you start worrying about tomorrow, next week, and next year, and on down the path, you're going to have more trouble than you can handle in one day. Trust God every day. Don't worry about tomorrow. You say, well, he might fail tomorrow. No, he's not going to fail you tomorrow. Amen? Amen. Well, what did you have in store for me next week? Well, who knows but him? But God will allow it, and God knows. And God is the one that says, you trust me every day. Then he tells us to ask for what we need. I know there's a verse in the Bible that says he'll give you the desires of your heart, but your desires of your heart better be in the will of God. But basically what he is promising us in these promises is what we need. He said, give us this day our daily bread. He didn't say, give us this day our daily steak. Nor did he say, give us this day our daily lobster tail. That sounds pretty good. I may go have some the surf and turf, one of my favorite meals. But God didn't pray like that. That's not what he said do. Let me read you something that I found called the New Lord's Prayer. And it's a felt needs version. I hope you know what I'm talking about when I say a felt needs. It's some of that stuff I was talking about this morning. And it reads like this. Our audience which art on earth, hallowed, or at least greatly esteemed, be our name. Our destiny come, our will be done in heaven as it is on earth. Give us today our daily indulgences, and help us to love and forgive others, ourselves rather, just as we love and forgive others. Lead us not into difficulty, suffering, or unhappiness, but deliver us from unmet needs. For ours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, at least here and now, which is what counts anyway. That is sacrilegious, isn't it? That's not the way he taught us to pray. And yet, Sometimes I'm afraid that our prayers are very akin to that, if not in word, in substance, in what we are asking for. And we say to God, I want it, and you give it. I want it, and you're supposed to give it. In fact, some are so blatant that they demand that God gives it to them. So 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. If you are saved and know you're on your way to heaven, you're a godly Christian, that is great gain. If you are content in the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to have money and all those other things to do that. But God supplies our needs. Jim Baker, you remember Jim Baker, PTL Club. Jim Baker went to prison. He used to propagate this name it and claim it, and God wants you to be rich. After all, the Father's the King, and he doesn't want any of his children to be paupers or be poor or to be sick and so on and so forth. And after he went to prison and then spent some time with the Lord, he had been preaching this prosperity gospel. I'm just going to read you a little portion of what he said. He said, I even got to the point where I was teaching people at PTL, and this is a quote, don't pray, God, your will be done, when you're praying for health or wealth. You already know it's God's will for you to have those things. Instead of praying, thy will be done, when you want a new car, just claim it. Pray specifically and tell God what kind you want. Be sure to specify the options and what color you want too. I may not always have been so blatant about it, but I often preach the prosperity message. The more I studied the Bible, however, I had to admit that the prosperity message did not line up with the tenor of Scripture. He's right about that. My heart was crushed to think that I had led so many people astray. I was appalled that I could have been so wrong, and I was deeply grateful that God had not struck me dead as a false prophet. Many today believe, and I'm still quoting him, that the evidence of God's blessings on them is a new car, a house, a good job, etc., but that is far from the truth of God's word. If that be the case, then gambling casino owners, drug kingpins, movie stars are blessed of God. Jesus did not teach riches were a sign of God's blessing. In fact, Jesus said it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. There's more to this, and there's a book you might want to buy entitled I Was Wrong that he put out, and he was wrong. And he admitted that he was wrong, and good for him. Give him the credit. Well, credit's due. At least he had the courage to admit that. You see, prosperity does not necessarily bring honor and glory to God. It's a fact. It doesn't necessarily glorify God. Jesus said to the man, sell all your possessions and give alms. Well, that would be a counter action against what he was teaching, if that's what he was teaching. But he wasn't teaching that. John the Baptist said, if you got two coats and you see somebody that needs one, give them that coat. Give them one of those coats. And that's not prosperity theology. That's meeting the needs of others. One of the evidences that a person has been deceived is to check this out, how much they own compared with how much they give. If they've been deceived, they're not going to be giving much. They're going to own a lot and take it in and keep it and put it in a can and sit on the can and dare anybody to try to get their hand in the can. That's just the way it's going to be. Prosperity is not that sign. They, that is the prosperity people, object. They object to a lot of different things that are good Bible theology. But they'll argue, they argue those arguments, my father's a king and my God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and he certainly wants you to own everything, and he wants you to have all of that, and he wants you to go out and make these luxurious purchases. He's the king. That's what he wants you to have. You just don't find that taught in the Word of God. It isn't taught. It is not God's will for everybody to be healthy. Ask the Apostle Paul, who was the greatest man of God that ever lived on the face of the earth. Jesus was number one. He was God, but the Apostle Paul, and God would not heal him. You see, the purpose of prosperity, if you get a raise, if you get in that three-digit above bracket and all of that, the purpose of that is not so you can trade your Ford in and get a Cadillac. The purpose of that is that you can continue to maintain a good lifestyle, but take that prosperity and put that prosperity into God's work. Put it somewhere into God's work and use it for God. I know some businessmen, and Brother Patterson, I know that in your ministry and some others here, you know that there are businessmen that we know who could live in a palace, but they don't. You know why? They give hundreds of thousands, literally hundreds of thousands of dollars to the Lord's work over periods of time, and they could live high on the hog, as we say, but they don't do it because they know that God's reason for prospering their businesses and all of that is that they might be able to rechannel some of that and that it can be a blessing to others and reach a lost and dying world with the gospel. We're the conduits. And the conduits do not have to be gold line. Copper will do real well. God just wants to use us to do that. You say, well, I want a house. And God, give me a house. And that's fine. I believe in praying for things. But your motive, don't ask amiss. Why do we want these things? What do we want? If God gives you a house and you're praying, you don't own one, you won't own one, He gives it to you. Or maybe if you're in a situation where you would like to use it more for Bible studies, the right kind of Bible studies, church awareness, hooked to the local church type Bible studies, or invite people in and serve them a meal and try to win them to Christ, and you want that, and you can upgrade a little bit and do that, and your motive and your purpose is good for the glory of God, then I don't think God's going to be mad about that. But just to heap things upon ourselves and to claim it and name it and say, I've got to have all this stuff, and believe that that shows that we are blessed of God, is wrong. George Mueller, let me close out with sharing his prayer. And I think it's a very good prayer. He said this, and George Mueller knew something about praying stuff in. He knew what it was to feed children and so on and so forth. And he had prayed in. But this is a little prayer that he wrote down. He said, I believe God answers prayer. Answers always, everywhere. I may cast my anxious care, burdens I could never bear, on the God who heareth prayer. Never need my soul despair, since He bids me boldly dare to the secret place repair, there to prove He answers prayer. And He does answer prayer. And we need to go to Him daily. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And that's what God wants to do. And if we'll learn that and trust Him daily and have the right motives and have a good prayer life, God will bless us. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Provision, asking for what we need, and I might add for the right reason, the right motives. You have a prayer need tonight. You're not going to offend God by talking to Him about it, bringing it to Him. God wants to supply your need, and God will, and God is not going to be negligent in His responsibility and His willingness to help you out. And so we need to trust Him. Whatever that is, prayer still works. Bring it to the Lord in prayer, and He'll supply your daily bread. He'll supply your physical needs. Whatever they are, He'll take care of them. And Father, I pray now that You would bless and encourage each of us with this portion of that prayer that You gave us as the model prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Help us to pray to You daily, to look to You daily, to know You're going to provide today and not worry about tomorrow. Help us, O God, to know that we don't need to have any kind of materialistic desires in our heart that are contrary to Your will, that might keep us humble before Thee. We might use what You give us for Your glory. Father, if there's somebody here tonight without Christ, I pray that they would realize He is the bread of life. He said that Himself. And He said if we'd come to Him, He's the water of life. And if we'll drink of this water, we'll never thirst. I pray that tonight they'd come to the bread of life and the water of life. That You might sustain them for all of eternity. Forgive them of their sins. Wash them clean. Make them whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.